All Grit,
hosted by Animation Tanya. Today on the podcast, we are in conversation with an alum of IIM Kozhikode, Manoj Bhattacharji. While he came into the MBA with experience in product management and technology, post-MBA he joined the Thomson Reuters leadership program. He then moved on to Mastercard as the Vice President of Digital Product Management. Currently, he is the Head of E-commerce Product Development and Design at PepsiCo. Manoj talks about identifying your niche while staying agile. He stresses on the importance of cultural and social immersion while telling us the stories of the challenges he faced and the decisions he made to be an impactful leader.
Hey Manoj, welcome to the podcast. Really excited to have you here.
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Animesh.
It's always a pleasure to have an alum at our podcast. We are from IIMK, you are from IIMK.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Whatever we enjoy in the college today, I always believe it firmly that it is because of you guys, right? Because you were there, you were able to accomplish something. So that is why the brand exists. And I, the whole day I was excited that I'll be interacting with someone like you. So that being said, can you just give a brief to our listeners as to what your profile is right now?
Sure. So hi guys, my name is Manoj. I'm currently head of e-commerce product and design for PepsiCo. I started with PepsiCo 3 years back. I was basically the first guy in the product engineering and design org for PepsiCo's e-commerce. Over the last 3 years, I have built out the entire product and design and data operation teams. And with that, we have powered growth of PepsiCo's e-commerce from around $700 million in 2017 to now $3 billion in 2020. So it's a huge amount of growth that we are seeing even before COVID. And it's been a very exciting journey. Before that, I was with Mastercard. I used to run digital payments for Mastercard. I launched Apple Pay, Google Pay, Android Pay in partnership with Apple, Google, Samsung. And I've lived in 5 countries, so India, Singapore, Philippines, UK, and US. And I've been in New York for the last 10 years. I thought I would be here for a couple of years and then move to some other countries, but New York has been home. And really excited to be, speaking with you guys and then interacting with IIMK.
Like Animesh said, we are quite excited. And, you worked across the globe and you worked in various capacities and companies through your career. So we want to start from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. You started your career with Wipro and Oracle, and then you decided to come for an MBA at IIM Kozhikode.
Right.
So in retrospect, how has your MBA helped you along your career?
Yeah, it's a very interesting, relevant question. Like in terms of career decision, that was probably one of a very critical career decision for me. There's a healthy debate ongoing in US in like, why MBA? What's the value of MBA? So I think it has been crystallized into 3 areas. One, people go to MBA predominantly for content. So in terms of curriculum, getting to know, the different facets of business management. Second is the peer group. And the third is basically the brand, right? Any premier MBA college has a very strong brand. So my motivations to go through MBA was also pretty much in those 3 lines, right? So I was doing coding, I was in engineering, and I had this fascination to go into finance. So I thought that probably MBA would be a good platform to get to that stage. I personally had a lot of fun. So I don't know how much content I took, but I had a lot of fun. I was part of the placement committee. I was part of the financial committee. I did participate in a lot of different college events and competitions. So I personally had a lot of fun. It basically shaped who I am right now and the career choices that I took after that.
Now, after MBA, you joined the Fast Track Leadership Program at Thomson Reuters, where you wore several hats and honed on your skill in product management.
Right.
How important was this opportunity at Thomson Reuters for your career? Mm-hmm. How important was it? And what were your key takeaways in that whole program for your life?
So just to talk very briefly about the program, it was a 3-year rotation program. Typically after MBA, a lot of companies offer rotation programs, specifically in FMCG's place. This program was a little bit different because the rotation programs were not only across different roles and verticals, but it was also different across different countries, right? So we had an option to work in 2 to 3 different countries. Plus the peer group was different. It was not just from India. They had this rotation programs where there were other MS or MBA students joining, ex-MBAs and MS students joining from Europe, from China, from Japan, from India. So in that sense, it was a very really diverse group. So that was the best takeaway, right? How do you work in a diverse, not only a diverse in terms of sex and race, but also in a diverse in terms of nationality and background. The other important thing is it gives me an opportunity to cultural immersion. And I realized that you can have a lot of Zoom immersion, but it defeats the way that cultural immersion happens, right? Cultural immersion happens through social and professional immersions, right? And just professional immersion will not allow you to understand different aspects of different culture across the world and how do you function. So the biggest takeaway was to have a very diverse peer group. Second was to have the kind of cultural immersion across, very diverse countries like Singapore, Philippines, UK and London. And the third was like, how do you find your niche? You go through multiple different rotation programs and you start figuring out, okay, this works for me and this doesn't. So making those decisions and saying, there's a concept of fail fast. So understanding where it is not good for you, understanding and pivoting to areas where, those are right fits. So I think making those decisions quickly.
So it's interesting that you're talking about cultural immersion as well as professional immersion, because, you had an interesting stint of leading sales in Philippines around 2009-10 for a financial services company in the middle of a financial crisis. So what was your learning from that experience and how did it shape your career going forward?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, Tanya. I think in terms of my different stints, I think that was, if I have to pick one stint that was the most challenging, I would pick up that, right? Like selling financial products in a country where you don't have any network and in the middle of a financial crisis, I think the barriers couldn't have been stacked higher for me. And what I realized is two things very early. One, sales is not made for me. I'm not a sales guy, right? So I made that career choice very early. The second was, I also realized the importance of storytelling. Now, you have to do storytelling, doesn't matter which area that you go to, right? Whether you are in investment banking, whether you are in product, you are in design, you are in engineering, or you are in consulting. Storytelling becomes part of each and every career growth story. So I realized that, telling the story and telling it in a manner that is interesting for the audience is going to be very critical. And that was the biggest takeaway from my experience from Philippines.
Now, what intrigues me further is that you started your career in tech. After the MBA, you moved to a sales strategy role. And while working with Thomson Reuters, as you said, you had multiple roles, multiple cultures and professions you had to deal with. And after that, at the same time, you did your CFA level one, right?
Yeah.
Right. And your final role with Thomson Reuters was managing sales effectiveness and reporting a $7 billion organization, right? Yeah. So most of the people would have been content if they get into Thomson Reuters leadership program. They are like, okay, I have done particularly well in my life and let me just focus on what is at hand. So what kept you hungry?
Yeah, I think from three different areas. One is I really realized that life is short, so there should be a constant drive towards doing something exciting all the time. Second is I also realized no one industry or company or role is the best fit for your career growth year over year, because things change, right? This change is very constant. And the third is don't be afraid to take risks and go outside of your comfort zone. I think the MBA was really helpful, right? Before MBA, you typically have a very one-dimensional aspect to your academics, right? I was an engineer, so I had a one-dimensional engineering in terms of academics. At work, also, it's a kind of a one-dimensional aspect. You have to solve specific problems. MBA throws a lot of random problems at you, and with your peer groups, you start figuring out that it is possible to solve all of that. So it builds in you a confidence that, you can take risk and you should be able to go outside your comfort zone to succeed. And there's a interesting anecdote that I have around that. Like my next door neighbor in the condo that we stay in, She was from Singapore. She spent 15 years in global financial banks like UBS and Citi. Then she decided to do her MBA from Wharton. And post that, she decided to go into product management. And I think she was very happy with the choices that she made. So, I mean, she, as an example, again, is a story where people do change their tracks and change their career trajectory to do things which are different. And I think I've always been a believer of that.
Yeah, and personally, you know, for me, I find those careers the most interesting, which are just so wacky in your decision making, right? You're doing one thing at a time and it doesn't stop you from exploring other things. It's just you look for a window and you jump at it. And, you know, that was one of the reasons I used to, in fact, listen to podcasts. I'd be following people in channels who'd bring those people who are doing these wacky things in their life and they're successful at it. You just have to like try your hand at it and it just happens for you. So it's incredible. Now you also, you know, through your career, you built really extensive expertise around integration, helping companies grow their API portfolios. For instance, during your tenure at MasterCard as director and then VP Digital Product Management. I wouldn't go into the details of API design, how these interfaces help build various digital solutions. But what's a great takeaway from this aspect about your career is how you used your niche to eventually take up broader responsibilities later in your career. So how important do you feel it is for an MBA to search for their niche? And do you feel the generalists who don't really have a niche, for example, APIs, can also thrive in the digital landscape and ecosystem?
Yeah, totally. I think, beyond just going a step higher than APIs, I'm talking about like digital ecosystems, digital transformations, and all those things, right? It was interesting. I got the same question yesterday when I was doing a guest lecture at IIM Ranchi as part of their ESL. So I think the question was like, you know, how do people in a generalist role go into, you know, driving disrupting innovation in corporates, right? And I realized that, you know, there are two aspects to it. One is the different organizations have driving innovation through different structure within the organizations, right? So one structure is BU, where you're trying to drive, innovations within your traditional business unit setup. Organizations also set up different unique bodies or niche program to drive innovations. Examples of that are, you know, digital labs or, you know, center of excellence like e-commerce teams. And the third area is where organizations are driving innovation is by building an external ecosystem or through investment, right? So famous ones are PayPal has a really great, you know, ecosystem and investment portfolio where they acquired Venmo, Braintree, you know, there were like excellent acquisitions. And MasterCard had MasterCard Startup, which was a unique program with startups. Facebook, Amazon, all of them have all those structures. I think MBA helps you build a disruptive mindset to go into all those areas, like whether it's views, whether it's areas where, you know, there is a set like a lab or center of excellence, or you can also go and be part of those investment bodies, right? So MBAs does provide you skill sets that helps you go into all of this. The question is also a kind of mindset.
I wanted to go a little back again. You moved from a media conglomerate to a financial services company, MasterCard, right?
Yeah.
Where you manage their digital products. How was the transition between industries like from a media conglomerate to a financial services company?
It was very interesting. Exciting. So I was moving from an industry. So Thomson Reuters was considered media. But 90% of revenue was coming from financial data. So so Thomson Reuters, Bloomberg, they were basically in the leaders in the financial data space, right? The last major disruption I felt that happened in this in the financial data space was when algorithmic trading became very popular, right? So outside of that, there hasn't been that much of disruption that was happening, let's say 2010, 2012. But when I looked at the payment industry, it was going through a major transition, right? So one, the digital giants like Google, Apple, Samsung, they were getting into the payment space. Second, the marketplace players like Uber, Airbnb, Amazon, Etsy, they were seeing huge spike in adoption as well as popularity. And the third is you had a new breed of, you know, startups like Stripe, Venmo, Braintree, Square. They were all getting the funding and coming into a very prominent way in the market. And companies like MasterCard, Citi, Visa, Amex, they were trying to figure out like, where do we invest? Where do we go to talent base in order to build our own niche in that space? So that was the really exciting, so that really excited me about the payment space, and I decided to make the jump. I went to work on some really exciting projects, like, so I worked with Apple, Google, Samsung on Apple Pay, Google Pay, Samsung Pay, did co-development of a lot of products with Uber and Airbnb, et cetera. So I was really happy that I made the transition because it allowed me to be part of that that really trajectory in terms of innovation and digital disruption.
So I had a follow-up to that. Mm-hmm. It is that you have extensive experience in managing products, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel that product management, the skills of product management are product and industry agnostic? No matter the product, no matter the industry, we'll still be able to execute the task given to you.
Yeah. No, I strongly believe that, right? So I've been hiring a lot of people for product management leadership role, product manager roles, digital designer roles. And the one thing that I've tried to ensure is that they realize that not having the domain knowledge of the CPG area is not a hindrance, because, you know, technology is technology. You use technology to solve problems. So it doesn't matter whether you're coming from CPG, financial services, transportation, or any of those areas. As long as you have a mindset to solve problems and think about user and have a user first approach, you should be able to be successful in any product management or product design opportunity.
Right. So, you know, at the current point of your career progression, you are the head of product management and product design at PepsiCo. So tell us a little bit more about your transition from a financial service leader to a consumer goods giant. For you, was the justification for this transition as organic as payments being at the epicenter of e-commerce, or was the opportunity of spearheading the D2C transformation of Pepsi something you personally found exciting?
Yeah, I think I found the transformation parts more exciting. Payments was a part of this, but not a major part. I mean, so within PepsiCo, the PepsiCo e-commerce growth is coming from two separate areas. One is through our partnership with Amazon, Walmart.com, Instacart, Target.com. And the other part of growth is coming from areas like, you know, our own D2C and B2B capabilities like SodaStream.com, HealthWarrior.com, and the rest. What I realized is that between 2007 to 2025, there is a huge transition happening in terms of how consumers are buying CPG products, right? So they are going, like in 2017, 1% of consumers were buying CPG products. 20 to 30% of consumers will buy CPG products online in 2025, right? So it was this unique proposition of being a part of that transition and that growth trajectory that got me excited. And my team and I have been building products that helps us, be a leader in that transition.
Yeah, and talking about that transition, so from a product design standpoint, what would you think are some of the biggest challenges you had to address before beginning the development of the e-commerce platform?
Yeah, I think it all depends upon two things, right? So are you building products for end consumers, or are you building products for B2B, or are you building products for internal stakeholders? So the level of the kind of design processes that you follow in order to build the right experience differs quite a lot, right? So if you want to build experiences for your consumers, your design process has to go a lot into research. The capabilities that you want to put in front of the consumers have to be very mature. Where if you are building internal, let's say internal platforms for supply chain automations, marketing automations, the speed of execution becomes important because the UI may have some gaps, but you need to build out competitive advantage with machine learning, with the right kind of platform capabilities in order to go to market fast and make impact to the business, right? So how you use design to solve both of the use cases are pretty different.
So this is a question which I was waiting to ask you throughout the podcast. What is the actionable advice will you give to business students like us who want to pursue a career which not only has an impact but also tempers us as leaders?
Right. So I think I have a couple of advices from my own learnings, both success and failures. So one is, your career trajectory or your growth trajectory is defined by the three choices that you make. One is the kind of industry that you go to, the kind of organization and the team that you go to, and the kind of role that you have, right? Invariably, right, no matter how smart you are, if you are in the wrong industry at the wrong time, your career trajectory, and you're stuck there for a significant amount of your years, you will not be able to make the right career move, right? Or you will not see the kind of growth, right? And I think, so having that vision, right, to see, you know, which industry is growing at this point of time and which can grow in future, I think making those choices, especially early in your career, is quite significant. And the second is, it's a fun life, right? So don't be too hunkered down with some of the bad choices that you make. You should always have a positive mindset. And look for the future, because again, some of the challenges that you face in the past may help you become successful in future. And I've seen that in a lot of the peers that I have in the industry right now, in US and other countries.
That's a great actually segue into the next question that I'm going to ask you. So what was the hardest decision that you've ever had to make in your career?
I think a harder decision were two, right? One was recent, like moving from payments to CPG. So it was a hard decision because I didn't know the industry. I didn't know anyone in CPG at that point of time. I was not sure whether the company will going to invest in terms of both resources and commitment in order to grow the portfolio. So it was a lot of risk, and I was in a decently stable environment with MasterCard. I was seeing the kind of growth. I was happy with the kind of innovations which was driving. So making that that switch was difficult. And the second decision was not going back to India around 2014, 2013. I had a couple of opportunities. One was to go to Bay Area, one was to go to India and join a couple of startups over there, and one was to move to PepsiCo, right? So not making that shift geographically was probably a hardest decision. So I don't know whether I did the right thing or not, but I'm happy with the career choices that I've made so far.
Before moving on to the last question, I just wanted to thank you for coming today. And in summary, I wanted to say, In such a brief interaction with you, we got to know about so many things. The decisions we should keep in mind for our career, the vision we are supposed to have, and how important cultural immersion is. Not just cultural, but also social, right? When you go to some place. And what I personally like about your career trajectory is how you decided what not to do. Like how you said that sales is not for me, it's not happening. How you wanted to go into finance, but you figured out that you have your interests lie somewhere else. So you shifted as soon as possible. So with that, I want to give you the stage for 2 minutes. Tell us something which you have been up to in this lockdown, in these unprecedented times of the pandemic.
So I think I've been focused on three things. One is, I picked up my reading habit with newspaper. So the last time I touched newspaper or was actually consuming the newspapers were way back in the college days when I started preparing for CAT. So around the lockdown, my iPhone broke for 14 days, right? And I was without iPhone, and that's typically now these days is how you consume news. So I had to get access to physical newspaper to consume news. And I kept up the hobby because I felt it helps me focus. I started biking and playing tennis. Again, I had a few years of gap, so it was fun to pick up that hobby. The third thing I started doing is, so we were going through a huge hiring spike, but in person, it was easy to meet people and tell them the story about PepsiCo e-commerce. PepsiCo e-commerce is not known for a technology organization, right? So if you have to hire the right kind of product managers, designers, engineers, you have to tell the story. Typically, you tell the story in person. But lockdown basically prevented that. So what I did was I started going to a lot of different conferences and actively started speaking out and spreading the story about the good thing that we are doing with PepsiCo e-commerce and how it's an exciting part to be as part of your career trajectory. So those are the three things that, you know, lockdown made me do. And I'm happy that, you know, at least there is the biking and tennis definitely helped me not reduce, but limit the kind of weight gain that I would typically have if not that, right?